The reading is taken from 1 John, chapter 4, starting on verse 16b, and can be found on page 1228 on your Bible. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been thinking very much about the whole area of healing and recognizing and beginning to understand that so much of our unhealedness actually has something to do with disobedience and the fact that we are not the people we ought to be. And I've come across a number of people who have been teaching this, and the more I've read, the more I understand, the more I think this is a reality. A fellow by the name of Wright, I forgot his name, what's his first name? Henry, thank you. Henry Wright was a pastor who used to pray for people, and he saw that most of the people didn't get well. He saw some healing, people did get healed. But he looked into it and began and said, cried out to God, well, what's going on? Why is it that some people seem to be get healed and others not? And as he prayed and cried out to God, he began to hear from God to say that it's to do with our disobedience. And because if we are disobedient in any area of our lives, our attitudes, our actions, our motives, our thinking, then if we are disobedient, then God actually cannot actually deal with those things that are held by that disobedience. And the contrary to that is that God actually wants us to be obedient so that he can bring his blessings. God wants us to be obedient because he wants, therefore, to bring healing and wholeness to us. And very early on, Wendy and I actually experienced something of this without really knowing anything about it. And I've told you this story before. A lady who was turned out that she was bitter, she was angry, unforgiving of her sister, who I think had gone off with a boyfriend 35 years earlier. And she was all boiled up, taffled up, I call it, with arthritis. We didn't understand any relationship. I just really understood that something told me that she needed to forgive. And so I talked to her about forgiveness, went through the Lord's Prayer with her, and she suddenly realized that that's what the Lord's Prayer says. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. If there's unforgiveness, there's a block. Now, I didn't really understand what that any more of what that meant until after she prayed, that she confessed, she forgave her sister. She came to church that next week, just before we were going back to college, and her arthritis had gone. And that was the beginning of an interest, an understanding, and I had no understanding. I want to read you something that Henry Wright has actually said. Let me read to you something. Fibromyalgia. Thank you. Fibromyalgia. You know, I did this loads of times at 9 o'clock. I still couldn't. Fibromyalgia is what the medical community calls pain in fibrous tissues, muscles, tendons, ligaments, and other connective tissue. Do you know why it's there? I'll tell you why. You ladies have not been nurtured. You are paying a high price for your insecurities and your fears. Let me read this thing here. This is in quotes. The condition occurs mainly in females, primary fibromyalgia syndrome, PFS, is particularly likely to occur in healthy young women who tend to be stressed, tense, depressed, anxious, and striving, and striven. That comes from the Merck's manual, which is a medical document. 16th edition, page. As a pastor, how long did it take me to get into a position against this disease? As long as it took me for you to read what I've just read. Immediately, I came back on the fly. Okay, fibromyalgia, the result of fear, anxiety, and stress. Unresolved conflict and stresses. And you know that it's true. When the anxieties and the insecurity issues are dealt with, many times the fibromyalgia goes away. Similarly, when I deal with bitterness, the arthritis many times goes away. When I deal with self-hatred and guilt, many times lupus and other autoimmune diseases go away. When I deal with a broken heart and those wounds, many times allergies go away. See, his contention is, very clearly, and he's done an awful lot of work with it, that there is a big link. And I believe that this is all part of what's called sanctification. We are justified by faith. Now, you understand what that means, don't you? Well, because we have faith, because we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very fact that he died on the cross for my sin, and I forget about your sin, my sin, and you could say exactly the same thing. Because of that, I believe and trust in him. I have given him my life. I have asked him to come into my life so that I become born again. That we are justified. I am justified by faith. It's just as if I've never sinned. God looks down at me and he doesn't see my sin. He sees the blood of Jesus covering me. That's justification by faith. Now, at the same time, what is going on and what the work of the Holy Spirit is what's called sanctification. That is the process which goes on and is ongoing, that goes on into making us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is for our benefit, it's for our blessing, it is for us to become healed and whole so that we can demonstrate the kingdom, live out the kingdom, and declare the kingdom in the way we live, the health that we have, the what we say and do. Now, the problem with the church is that we are nowhere near that. Why? Well, I wonder. I wonder if it's the very fact that we've not taken hold of some of these things. And this morning, I'm once again, because this is not the first time, I want to talk about fear. It's just one area. I just felt very strongly for some reason that God wanted me to talk about fear. I could talk to some of the other things, and I probably will. But let's have a look at fear. Let's get this in the right context. Fear is good. Fear is good at certain occasions. It's a natural reaction caused by created by God as a warning of impending danger and enabling a speedy reaction. It's an emotional response to danger, or it can better be described as a troubling and agitation when danger is sensed through the body, soul, or spirit. Its purpose is to motivate us into fight or flight and to seek God's help or protection. Okay. When God's covering is established, there's no longer any need to hold on to the warning fear. So when we're in Christ, when we have Christ at the center of our lives, there's no need to hold on to that fear. It comes, it's right, and it's useful, but we don't hold on to it. So it can be released. If it does not dissipate after the incident, then it becomes ungodly. Then we're in disobedience. For example, it gives an example here. The fear caused when a truck suddenly sweeping round a corner causes you to jump back onto the pavement instead of standing in front of it, that's a natural warning. Fear and adrenaline comes into a body and gives us the ability to leap out of the way. There's other times I've heard of stories of mothers have seen their babies underneath cars, and they've lifted the car up and took the baby out. A massive injection of adrenaline, fear to actually save. I mean, I've never seen that, but I've heard that it happens. Now, that's good, but if we stay in the fear, now, if we if we don't go out anymore because we get fearful about the fear of being hit by a truck, you know, if you don't go anywhere near the street anymore because a truck might come around the corner and hit us, then we've moved into the ungodly. Now, that's got control. Fear has got control of us. So that's an ungodly fear, okay? So fear, that form of fear, fight and flight, that's good. But if it stays there, then that's ungodly. Why? Well, I'll come on to that. Now, here's another good fear, the fear of God. I've looked at hundreds. There's loads of different Hebrew words for fear and Greek words for fear. And I'm not going to go into all of those. But the fear of God, the scriptures actually say the fear of God is important. It's good. And it's the fear of in awe. It's trembling. You know, I wonder when we actually get taken to stand before Jesus, you know, as the song says, will I be able to stand, or will I fall flat on my face before God, trembling at the very presence of God? I suspect I'll be on flat on my face, trembling before God in reverential awe, the fear of God. Here's some of the things the scripture actually says about fear. And it's good. It's the beginning of wisdom. That's in Proverbs. The fear of God brings satisfying life. That's in Proverbs. It's the beginning of knowledge. That's Proverbs. The fear of God ushers in God's goodness. That's in Psalm 31. It releases God's loving kindness. That's Psalm 103. The fear of God prolongs life, Proverbs 10. It's the fountain of life. The fear of God is the fountain of life, says Proverbs 14, 27. And the fear of God brings deliverance, Psalm 34. Its rewards are riches, honor, and life, Proverbs 22. Brings delight to God. The fear of God keeps men from evil, Proverbs 16. Fear of God brings salvation, Psalm 85. Fear of God encourages us to fear God, not the enemy or the enemy's words. Those fears should not be there. Fearing God is the right way forward. And it's the fear of God in awe, reverential awe, and understanding who he is. The great and the mighty, the incredible God who could do that, and we'd be gone. We should be in awe. We should fear God. He is the only one we should fear, because he can completely destroy us. Satan can't. He can't completely destroy us. What can Satan do? He might get someone to shoot us in the head. So what? Doesn't matter. If you're a believer, it's a stepping through the veil into the very presence of God. Does anybody fear death? It's a fear that we shouldn't have, because as Christians, then we should know where we're going. If I was to die tonight, and I was to stand before Peter in the gates, and he looks at me and says, yes, Trevor Davidson, okay, why should I let you in? What am I going to say? I mean, some people find that difficult. I've got no problem. I will say, well, Peter, mate, I'm worse than you, but like you, I got to know Jesus, and I know that he died on the cross for me, and his blood avails for me. I'm worthless, but he has done everything for me and made me really valuable. So I believe and trust in Jesus, and I know that he has promised that I'm going to be with him forever. Is that all right, Peter? And he will pat me on the back and say, get in there, boy. We've got that. That is ours. We have that. So why should we fear death? I think some people fear the manner of death. At one time, that was one of the things that, you know, I've seen people dying in pain. But I talked to a doctor, actually, and 80% of people actually die quite peacefully, without pain. And these days, the truth is that, you know, with medication, nobody really needs to suffer great pain in the process of dying. You don't need to fear. Why do we fear? I think fear actually is, ungodly fear, is that we actually, here it is, hear me, this is it, we don't trust God. If there's fear in our lives, we don't trust God. Because God actually says, trust me, believe me, follow me, do the things that I want you to do. I will never leave nor forsake you. My love for you is great beyond expectation. It's greater than anything that you've experienced. I hold you in the palm of my hand. You are the apple of my eye. I created you. I knew you before you were even born. I chose the egg in your mother and the sperm from your father to come together to make you. Do you not think that I'm concerned about you? Do you not think that you are perfect in my sight? Do you not think that I've got a plan for you and a purpose? Do you not think that because I've created you, I am not going to bring you to myself if you allow me? God loves us. We are the pinnacle of creation. It's not like the evolutionists will say that we're just, you know, we descended from primeval slime and, you know, we've gradually evolved over billions of years and, you know, we've turned from monkeys to monkeys sometimes. What a load of, nonsense. That's right, yes, absolute nonsense. Come on, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in the creator and sustainer God, who is mighty beyond description, who sang those stars into being, and he sang this world into being, and he sings over us in our creation. He loves us, we human beings. He loves us, and he doesn't want us to be racked with fear and anxiety and all those other things. Terror, tension, timidity, fright, apprehension, panic. I mean, panic comes from the god of god of turmoil, Pan. Phobias. Amen. There's loads of people with phobias. I wonder how many of you have got phobias. I know somebody who is agoraphobic. And I know what's caused it. It was in a car crash. And as a result, he's never gone in a car since. Now that's control. Who's winning there? Satan's winning. Got control. You know, there are people that are afraid of mice. Chickens. Yeah, seriously, there are people afraid of chickens, aren't there? Feathers, all sorts of things. And you know, when you go back and really look at it, there will be something that's triggered it, some instant. You know, maybe a chicken's actually attacked and pecked you and you've run out because it didn't like it. So, to be honest, sometimes cockerels, you know, need their heads. No, sorry. They can be quite nasty, cockerels. So you can imagine what. And so it's quick, get out there. And yeah, that's fair enough. But if that holds on to you, from then on you are scared of chickens, then there's something wrong. And there are many other phobias. There's I was going to say this, well, I like this word. Acnophobia. Arachnophobia, that's it, arachnophobia. That's the one, it's a good word, that, arachnophobia. And that film, if you ever saw it, will probably make you afraid. But you see, we don't need to be afraid of these creatures. So many phobias that there are. Shock and disquiet, agitation, all these things that actually are there. And what they do is what do they do? These are some of the things. It causes muscle tension, eye twitching, teeth grinding, headaches, upset stomachs, racing heartbeat, deep sighing, shallow breathing. And in our emotions, there's anxiety, worry, poor concentration, constant stream of incomplete thoughts, constant stream of talking about self, depression, hopelessness, frustration, anger, sadness. And then there's an accumulation of sleep hormones which produce insomnia, headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, hypertension, diarrhea. And then there's the disorders of the hormones and immune system, susceptibility to infection, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, autoimmune diseases, lupus, allergies, rheumatoid arthritis, just by a few. These are the sort of things that fear does to us in our physic, in our physical being, in our bodies and in our minds. There's a couple of others that I really want to have a look at briefly. And that is the fear of rejection. This is something that that many of us have experienced. And fear of failure. And I have to say that was one of the things that I had to deal with, fear of failure. But the fear of rejection sets us up. You know, we get rejected by somebody. Usually it's a sort of parent or somebody in authority in our early years says something, it goes deep inside, it causes something inside us, and it's there forever. And there's a fear of rejection. So people do all sorts of things to actually not to get rejected. Or the other side is that they actually reject other people so that they don't get rejected first, which is another thing altogether. And lies as well. Lies come up as a result of fears. Say, I mean, Abraham's one. When you read in Abraham, do you remember Abraham? What he did, you know, Sarai was very beautiful, and he went into the country and where he was going, Haran, I think, on the way there, and he said to his wife, he said, look, you know, you're so beautiful that they'll probably kill me to get you. So I'm going to tell them that you're my sister. You tell them the same. And he lied. And he did it again, even though he got into trouble. He got into trouble again. And guess what? His sons and his grandsons, and again it happened. There's a generational aspect to this. So lies tend to come or can come from fear as well. And that makes it even worse. But fear of rejection, fear of failure, and there's other fears as well, fears of what's going on in our lives. Now, can we have the first thing up there? These are four keys for uprooting the spirit of fear. Make a conscious decision to get rid of fear in your life. It's got to be a conscious decision. It needs to be spoken out, verbally, audibly. The spirit world needs to know about it. God might know what you're thinking, but it's speaking out into the spiritual realm. And do it with your eyes open as well. Make a constant decision to get rid of your fear. Speak it out. I want rid of this particular fear. Think about it. Look into yourself. What is the fear? Where are the fears in your life? Name them. Write them down. I did this, I think it was in Canada, I must have written it. I've written a list of different fears. And I know actually that I'm pretty sure that I went into fear not so long ago, and as a result, a result of that. All that stuff all over my arms and my legs, a sort of reaction. I think it was a fear reaction, but I've dealt with it. So you've got to take hold of it, name it. Name it specifically and make a conscious decision to get rid of the fear. Understand the magnitude of God's protection. Now, this is, I think, where we go wrong. I don't think we really understand fully how big God is and how great he is and how much he loves us. You see, the world has just shown so much. What's the opposite to love? Hate, indifference. You know, and even some of us have come from families where, for one reason or another, there's been indifference. And that we haven't been nurtured, we haven't been loved as we should. And sort of women particularly need to be nurtured. It's part of the job of men. Men, husbands, we're supposed to nurture our wives, to support them and build them up. That's part of our role. So many have missed out.
That's Graham's rule number 432, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. We need to actually to do that and recognize that we haven't had the nurture, we haven't experienced the love, but we need to understand the love of God, that God does love us. And we don't necessarily feel it all the time. But this is why we need to actually take hold of the word of God and the promises that are there and take hold of them and say, yes, I believe that God loves me with an everlasting love. He wants the very best for me. I am the apple of his eye. I'm the peach of his eye. I am special in his sight. And then we have that reading, you know, perfect love casts out fear. You see, when we take hold of that perfect love, oh, I've jumped one, haven't I? Develop confidence in God's promises. No, heaven is there. We need to take hold of these and understand them and grasp them and live them and rehearse them, speak them out, and then employ the perfect love. God's perfect love casts out fear. If we really believed that God can hold on to us and he loves us so much, then what can separate us? Oh, I think that would be good to write that down, wouldn't it? Oh, I think Paul's already done it in Romans, isn't it? What can separate from the love of God? Can death? No. Hell? No. This, that, and the other? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, because we are the pinnacle of his creation. Everything that has been made has for our benefit. All those stars out there, they're not for God, they're for us. I've told you this before. We're going to go there. We're going to have a look and explore and see how great and majestic and wonderful God is. And it's going to blow our minds, and our minds are going to grow in our understanding of how huge and immense God is. But when we look into the minute things as well, we'll see how great God is. Man looks in through the microscope and sees this, that, and the other, and it's incredibly complex how it all fits together. This is God. This is the God who is our God, who loves us. And he wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in love. He wants love to flow from him to us, to actually well up inside us. So love actually flows out to one another. And that love flows out into the world. That his perfect love casts out fear. When we're in love, then there can be no fear. That's what he wants more than anything else. The next one, keeping hold, ways of staying free from fear. This, and it is an ongoing process, and sometimes there were, you know, sometimes it's important to actually speak to someone about these fears if they're there, and to have them cast out as well physically. You know, you need to hold on for yourself. A lot of this you need to do for yourself. It's an act of the will. It's an act of your mind. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to allow this to dominate me anymore. But sometimes you do need actually someone to actually pray with you and maybe even address these spirits of fear, self-rejection, self-hatred. And there are so many. That's a tragedy. We are complex beings, and we've been twisted and gnarled and smashed and crushed. We've been broken up by the enemy. We're far from what we ought to be. But God's heart is for us to be whole. So when we begin to start getting to understand this, how can we stay free from fear? Well, we're obedient to God's word. You know, this is so important. We need to hear what God's saying through his word. Read it, learn it, mark it, absorb it, and then live it. And when God says, don't do this, don't do it. And if God says, do this, do it. We need to be obedient. You know, what's the scripture say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what God wants. He wants us to be obedient. Because the other side of the coin is, you see, if we go against God, that's rebellion. And again, what does the scripture say? Rebellion is like witchcraft. Occult. Horrible. Don't do it. So we need to learn to get into the right way. We need to reorder our lives so that we're going along the paths that God sets us. And that will give us freedom, that will give us peace, that will give us joy, that passes all understanding. So we are obedient to God's word. Speak out the word. We do need to speak it out. There are times when we do need to actually take hold of the promises and read them out. And we are obedient, you know, we actually say and speak out, Jesus is Lord. I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm not going to be in fear ever again. I break the power of fear over me, every aspect of it, in Jesus' name. Speak it out. We need to do that. Speak it out. Stay in the light of the presence of God. We need him. We need him. We need one another. We need to support one another. After we've been away on holiday, and when we start back again, we're going to be looking at the cell groups once again and thinking how we can develop them and how we can grow together and support one another. The cell group is our prime core. It's a cell, prime core, of where we support one another and learn together and minister to one another. And that they're important. We need to develop that. And we're going to do that. So we stay in the light of the presence of God. And we disarm the powers and authorities by binding them and declaring that they are not going to come under, we're not going to come under their control. We've got that authority. That's the authority God has given us. We can do that. You have authority. Each and every one of you, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were born again of the Spirit of God, you have authority. From the youngest, I won't look, to the oldest. You've got authority, particularly in the area of the demonic, because God has given you that to stand against the forces of darkness, to deal with them, to bring them down, so that we can be the people he wants us to be.